His name was Jeremy. He was on WordPress with a passion for youth sports and some free time on his hands. That SB Nation, they came a-calling. Despite trying to perfect his art, he knew something wasn't right. Then Chris came writing on and started poking fun. They decided to start a podcast, and who could ask for more at the Mountain? Mountain West Connection. Just be sure you don't ever skip this section here at the Mountain. Mountain West Connection. Recaps and previews, such stats, and just random at the Mountain.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show. Jeremy here, hang out with Chris.
What's up?
It's where you say hello. Oh,
hello. Hello.
Obviously, MWCConnection.com, same on Twitter, Mountain West Connection on Facebook. We are back for another show. This is kind of a hodgepodge review show. We are talking some hoops. I guess we are doing this basketball thing as well this season.
Well, you know, this is kind of the time to do it. If you think about it correctly, after football season is basketball season, but there's actually overlap that we don't talk about. We're now getting to the important and fun stuff, which is called conference play.
Well, since the non-conference play was not really outside of San Diego State and a few wins by New Mexico, non-conference play was not very good this year to the league.
Yeah.
Boise State did okay, but outside of that, eh. So, here's what the rundown is going to be. The Zombie Cotton Bowl review, UNLV versus North Texas. Some hoops. Do you want to get into any of the coaching, recruiting rumors? Did you hear about the big Boise State recruit news last night?
Yeah, four-star recruit. Summer Gardner, I think it is.
I should have the name pulled up here. But yes, Texas A&M recruitee decided to – he was at the Under Armour All-American game. Elected to – he already committed to Clemson, went to A&M, going to A&M to Boise to follow Marcel Yates, the new defensive coordinator.
So I guess basically, Marcel Yates is already doing his job, which is one of the things that we've already expected, because Marcel Yates has already been kind of stated as a good recruiter already.
I guess it balances out for his terrible defensive skills, because did you watch the Chick-fil-A Bowl?
I did not.
you missed a lot. The A&M defense is not very good.
I've missed a lot of bowl games this year. Stuff has gone on.
I know. You're moving. You moved. We can tell you. You had to move. That takes a lot of time and energy, especially not moving. A 6-hour drive in between locations, at least. Three to 4 hours. Sorry.
You think I'm moving to Utah or something?
I don't know why I said six, because that's what it takes for me to get to here to Vegas. No. 3 to 4 hour drive. So you've been busy, but
that's not what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, it's a huge get. He was the 11th player in the state of Texas, 86th rated player nationally, and the 10th rated defensive back. And I love his quotes. This is a confident guy here. Here's what he says. I feel like I could start at A&M and at Boise, but I feel like at Boise I can really be the person that changes the program around. Does the program really need changing around, really? Maybe a little bump, right?
Maybe a little bit bump, but really not changing around. However, you know, we do have a weaker sort of secondary. So
correct, yes. And then he goes on to say, I can really be that face for Boise State. However, you want to know another big reason he wants to come to Boise State doing research? He liked their medical program because he wants to be a registered nurse when he graduates if he's not in the NFL.
Actually, you know what? Boise State has always had a good nursing program. I mean, considering that, it's always been kind of talked about. It's kind of underseen throughout. And I remember teaching an introductory non-major chemistry course where I had a whole bunch of nursing majors in there. So, students in there, they're hardworking and. I actually did have a couple football players in that class.
You got me pretty smart. My wife's actually going to be a nurse in Utah Valley. It's a newer university, UVU. They're actually one of the best out west. So it's like some of these schools you don't think about. But it's a good thing he's thinking about other things besides football. And I watched his highlight tape. He is here's just a handful of offers. Obviously, A&M, Clemson. He also had Texas, Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Nebraska, LSU.
Just a handful of offers.
And more. And plenty more. So, yeah. So, we're assuming he sticks to his commit, and I may actually make a reach out to a coach, and maybe he'll join our show one day. Maybe. Before he gets his the Boy State clutches into his arm to say, you cannot speak to these people because they are less than nothing here.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll get to ask him some
fun questions.
Some science questions.
Ah, yes. Excellent. You two can do that while I just in the background and hum a song or something. And then also, Boy State, just since we're doing recruiting, also picked up a tight end right here. I don't know how good he is, but David Lucero committed to Boy State out of Holtville, California. So, good for him. Let's get to the bowl game. That's enough. Oh, also, the other news, Louisville's looking for a head coach, and they could be looking to Matt Wells as an under-the-radar candidate. Because, you know, that 1 year in 2009 when Louisville was terrible, he was their quarterback's coach. So the connection is really strong there. Really strong.
Gotcha.
Not really, but it'd probably be Rich Rod, so we'll see if Matt Wells actually does head that way. And also Craig Bull, congratulations.
Definitely. Third straight title by absolutely decimating Towson.
And now he has one job.
So let's see if Wyoming can build some consistency.
And also some other interesting news off of that. I was looking at, because Coaching Scoop and Coaching Search, those websites are pretty awesome to look at. The Wyoming, their defense, not the defense coordinator that fired, not what Chris Tormey, but the guy who took over for Tormey partway through the season. As you see, I'm stalling to find his name here. Hold on. He's actually going, Jamarcan, that's right. He's going to be the defensive end coach at North Dakota State. That's kind of interesting. Who knows? Bowl time. Are you ready to discuss the Heart of Dallas Zombie Cotton Bowl?
Yes.
Let's not discount that this is a New Year's Day bowl.
This is a New Year's Day bowl. And a New Year's Day bowl that was pretty much overshadowed by the Capital One Bowl. Thanks, Nebraska, Georgia.
And also the kind of the LSU bowl game. What bowl game was that?
Outback Bowl, I think.
Whatever, Jeremy Hill tore up that game, so I watched both of those. I watched this game. UNLV. Okay, this is the UNLV team that we kind of used to know from years past as they lose 36-14. However, as you said before, North Texas defense, not too bad.
Yeah, and I think that was the one. I think that was the one of the thing that I wasn't expecting was the North Texas defense to come out as strong as it basically supposedly was supposed to come out as strong, and I was wrong. The North Texas defense was as good as advertised, and it showed for it.
And after that first drive, it looked pretty good. UNLV drove 95 yards. Marcus Sullivan got a touchdown from Caleb Herring. But that was all the offense they had after that. Or not after that, but they had 262 total offensive yards the whole game. So they take off basically 100 yards. They had 167 the rest of the way. Not good. North Texas, you hear how the offense is where defense is down. That is what North Texas offense did, but it seems like North Texas defense it's hard to wear down an offense, but they made it difficult for UNLV to do anything. Even Tim Cornett averaged only 2.8 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, Cornett was not doing well. Caleb Herring kind of had just really an off day. 28 for 41 isn't going to get you too far. Especially
22 of 41. Get that right. 86
passing yards.
Not 28, 22 of 41.
That's
even worse. Yeah, they missed a field goal. Okay, here's what they did just quickly. Touchdown, punt, punt, punt. Field goal miss, end of that. Punt, punt, punt. And I think the turning point in the game, not that it's a turning point, but early on they had they muffed the punt on North Texas first drive when they tied it 7-7. UNLV botched a punt. North Texas picked it up a couple plays later. Touchdown to make it 7-7 from there on out. They score basically 23 points.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe UNLV was employing the Big Ten style of offense, which means punting is winning.
For which Big Ten team is that? All of them?
All of them.
Okay, just I want some clarification there to know which one you're referring to.
All of them.
Even Ohio State, who scored quite a few points in Orange Bowl.
And still managed to lose.
Yeah, and lost, yeah. But this was possibly the worst performance since the Minnesota game week one.
Yeah, it was offensively, yes. I mean, you can make an argument for the Arizona game as well, but I don't know. They scored only 14 points against Fresno State as well, but I just the North Texas defense. You got to give them all the credit here. I think this was less of a UNLV loss, more of a Texas North Texas just absolutely dominating them at the line.
They did, because like if we go back to maybe actually let me rephrase that's the worst second half, because second quarter nothing happened. They just exchanged punt. Third and fourth quarter they just tore it up. And that Minnesota game was what, the kick return, pick six, long touch, quarterback touchdown run. But yeah, but this was, I think you're right. This North Texas just. Yeah, they were from the Sun Belt first year in CUSA, but like we said in our preview, they only give up 18 points a game, and they held UNLV below that. Because look at like their drives: 5 plays 1 yard, 6 plays 11 yards, 3 plays 4 yards, 6 plays 10 yards. They had almost half their drives were less than six or seven plays, and it's just a bad day in the football. The bad football game for UNLV. That's all there is to it. Mark, the only good player that day, anything special, Devontae Davis at 10 for 96. That's about it.
Yeah. And I mean, Devontae Davis is going to do what he's going to do. So just, I don't know what else you can say. But once again, you can't take away what UNLV had all season long. I mean, they got to a bowl game, which wasn't even expected this year. So
fringe. I think you'd be pretty optimistic to think that
this can easily happen again.
Most people kind of thought maybe 4 to 5 wins, and they beating San Diego State, the teams they won, the one against, they did pretty good.
Well, I think you and I said that. If Bobby Houck can get to 4 wins, he'll save his job. And I think both you and I were thinking that it was going to be 4 or 5 wins max.
And we saw a few games on the schedule that just because who they played at home and everything, who they got, like the way the schedule laid out, like, okay, this is winnable because A, it's at home, and B, of who they're going up against. Not necessarily the strength of what UNLV brought to the table.
Yeah. No, exactly.
So, because Hauk got that extension for a couple of years. This is their best year since they made a bowl game in 2000, but they've had a few 6-win seasons since then. But you used to have 7 winning record to go to a bowl game. So what? Not to go, jump ahead to next year. We'll have our own UNLV recap later on for the season and everything. But what does this do for them next year? Because they lose Caleb Perrin, they lose Tim Cornette, they lose some defenders, a few offensive they lose Marcus Sullivan. And do they lose Devontae Davis as well?
I don't know.
Let me check really
quick. I thought Devontae Davis.
He's a junior, but he's good enough to make the NFL. But he hasn't declared, so we don't know. So what do you?
I think they return Devontae Davis for next year. I think as good as Devontae Davis is, he's not NFL ready, and I don't think the NFL is probably taking a serious enough look at him either.
Possibly, but they're gonna go back to Nick Sherry. They lose. I didn't see the deal, but what was the other running back who did not see playing time at all? That was kind of odd. The guy from Northwest. I always forget his name for some reason. Murray Lawrence. Shaquille Murray Lawrence did not play. I don't know why. I didn't look into it, but he was out of the game. I think he got injured in that San Diego State game or the Air Force game. But they'll have him who showed signs of being good, but I think they're going to drop back to what they have been, like 4-win UNLV at best.
Well, it just depends on how the schedule plays out for next year.
Okay. Do you want to do our review, or do you want to move on to hoops? Your call.
I think we can get more reviews in the weeks coming. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about.
We got time?
Especially if we're trying to do a podcast per week.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Good call. All right, so let's move on to hoops. Yes, at the beginning it does say this is football, but guess what? This is also basketball because, like we mentioned earlier on, conference play is beginning. Hey, conference tournament is only, 8-9 weeks away?
A little bit longer than... it might be 8 weeks away now.
Second week of March.
Yeah, it's eight or nine weeks away.
And the big surprise so far, just in conference play, Air Force is 2-0. Nevada's 2-0. But I don't have to make Air Force. They're an interesting team. They always play at a slow pace. But the kind of following what they did versus UNLV, they out-rebounded UNLV in their win last night on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. And
how does that happen?
That's kind of something that you see of the Princeton-style offense, not really collecting a lot of rebounds, but kind of that just constant motion, shooting when you have an opportunity. But really, Air Force just you're absolutely right, slowed it down and managed to, UNLV outsizes Air Force by a couple inches.
And
so they were able to get up there and grab those rebounds.
So I kind of thought, because UNLV had this tough start the season, they lost to UCSB, or blown out by UCSB. They snuck past New Orleans.
UCSB.
Or Nebraska, excuse me.
Wait, they lost to UC San Diego?
No, UCSB, Santa Barbara, Gauchos.
Oh, Santa Barbara, yeah.
They lost to Gauchos. They snuck past Nebraska, Omaha. They played, but here's the thing, they play Illinois tough. They play Arizona State close. They could have beat Arizona. And we kind of thought, like, after that UT Martin game, when they blew them out, played close to Arizona, yeah, they're beating teams like Southern Utah, Radford. Maybe this is the reason we shouldn't have thought this. Sacred Heart, some pretty bad teams, Santa Clara. They beat Mississippi State is nothing special, but they beat all these bad teams. Then they lose to Air Force. So I think you, I don't know if you're agreeing with me, but they started playing better, but then look who they're beating.
Yeah, yeah, nobody. And you're absolutely right. And I think if there's anything that kind of gave us a tell, and we probably should have seen it earlier, it was the 21-point loss to UC Santa Barbara. I mean, yes, this is kind of a small rivalry, UNLV UC Santa Barbara from the Big West days. Back in the 1980s, 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Santa Barbara right now is sitting at 9-4. And, I mean, they've beat some, they've beat Cal as well.
Yeah, UCSB is at worst an average mid-major.
Yeah.
At worst.
But to get blown out by an average mid-major.
When UNLV is considered kind of the higher end, like an elite, and pretty much an elite program for the most part.
And if you're wondering why we don't consider the Mountain West a mid-major, the Mountain West in basketball is not a mid-major.
They're at the low end of being a power program. Look at last year, five league teams in the conference or NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get multi-bids every single year. No, how many, it depends on the RPIs.
10 minutes,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Now.
But, I mean, Air Force, yeah, surprising. Now, but what about Nevada?
Yes, JD.
Nevada's sitting at the top of the conference at 2-0 as well.
Look who they played. Yes, JD.
You're right. Okay, fine. They played San Jose State.
Yes, and Wyoming. But as we mentioned before, Wyoming's typically a decent program. Was that at Wyoming, I believe, that win?
It was at home versus Wyoming.
Well, not UNLV, but Nevada, Reno, they do have an NBA prospect on their team. Dante Burton. He's pretty, as Larry David says, pretty good. Gee, that was terrible.
At this point, Nevada's looked like a less than average, let's even put a mid-major team. I mean, you've lost to Pacific, you've lost to Cal State, Bakersfield,
Long Beach State.
You lost to Moorhead,
Nebraska, Omaha,
Cal, who's looking, and then you lose to Long Beach State for Long Beach State's only second or third win of the season. Now they're up to 4-9 now, but I mean, still, it's pretty darn bad.
Sure. Yeah. So, let's circle back to Air Force. One of their wins was versus Utah State. But that was without Jared Shaw, who's now back in the lineup, despite being charged with a third-degree felony.
So that's what it was a third-degree felony?
He had an overabundant amount of marijuana. And apparently in Utah, that can be a felony.
Like, do you have a figure on hand, like from the newspaper? Or?
Yeah, I read it in Salt Lake Tribune, yeah, third-degree felony. But it's most likely going to be knocked down to some sort of misdemeanor.
Gotcha.
Because really, marijuana, not to say it's you should really do it, but how much more harmful is it really than alcohol, you know what I mean? Just
I cannot answer this question because of the fact that there are health benefits and other research going into it. However, it is still illegal, so we cannot really talk too much about it.
You know what I mean, but I'm saying, like, compared to a more heavier drug, that's what I'm referring it to.
Oh, no.
Like ecstasy, heroin, yeah. It's fairly lower on the food chain. Not that it's good, but there's...
However, if you're doing cocaine and heroin, yes, and you're a college player, A, how can you afford that?
Yes.
And B, what do you think? You're in the... What do you think this is? I mean, you're not an athlete. That's just stupid.
Yeah, that was just my reference for it. Like, compared to the harder stuff, it's probably not going to kill you for the most part. But let's move on.
I'm going to find the harder stuff. Anyway.
let's get away from this topic now.
So
San
anyway,
Diego State had a good day today on Sunday night.
San Diego State had a really good day today. 61-57 over Kansas, at Kansas.
Yeah, not at Kansas City like New Mexico played them at in Spritzer. This is at Fog Allen Field or Allen Fieldhouse, whatever it's called. Is it Fog Allen Fieldhouse or Fieldhouse? Whatever. In Lawrence, Kansas. We'll just leave it at that. I watched most of this game, and this you know, this is also the first non-conference loss for Kansas in 68 games.
Yeah.
Oh, nothing. I thought you'd be more surprised by it. Oh, that's cool.
Oh, no. Sorry. I didn't hear the question. I apologize.
No, they haven't lost a non-conference game since 06, Kansas.
That's actually extremely impressive. But you want to know what's even more impressive?
What is that?
UNL or San Diego State hasn't lost a game when leading with 5 minutes left in 104 games.
Correct. Yeah, they beat the 100 mark against Southern Utah, I think. But yeah, that is impressive. This game, they probably should have won by a bit more because their free throw down the stretch wasn't the best. But this was here's the thing. Yeah, Andrew Wiggins, he was shut down. He did have 14 points. It was only 4 of 14 for Kansas. Perry Ellis was 1 of 8 for Kansas. This was their worst shooting game in, I forget what it said, CBS, but in quite a long time. They shot 29% from the field.
Oh.
29%. It's 4-16 from three-point range.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not like San Diego State played any better, because if you look at those numbers, wouldn't you expect it to be a blowout of some sort?
Yeah, 29%. You should be somewhere, I mean, yeah. They should be somewhere in the... probably 80 points range.
No, because San Diego State shot just 37%.
Oh, my God.
And ended up being, like, down the stretch, like, J.J. O'Brien ended up, transferred from Utah, ended up coming. He only had 7 points, but I think he had 6 in the second half, I believe. So had a good amount. Had a couple good back buckets, a free throw down the stretch. Should have made more than one to kind of put the edge ahead. And then you see Kansas near the end of the game. Let's just fumble the ball away and give it back to San Diego State with under a minute. Or then there's the three offensive... San Diego State doesn't score in this possession late in the game, but they have three chances, two offensive rebounds they grab to keep the ball and a chance to stay ahead. This was not that they're just out-hustling them. They were... I'm going to say they were more athletic, and we know San Diego State, which, like, past years, like Jamal Franklin, very athletic. This seems to be more athletic than Kansas did on Sunday.
So let me ask you this. I mean, obviously, we still have the rest of the conference play to go, plus tournament. Is San Diego State a possible national title contender?
It's too early to tell, man. It's hard. They won. Okay, here's the good thing about this win on Sunday. They won a pretty ugly game. Outside of, because the main difference was 12 rebound edge, 51, which is pretty amazing, to 39. And Kansas is only ranked 16th, and they've had a couple of losses. No, this wasn't... Sorry, let me rephrase it. It wasn't non-conference loss. They lost to Kansas or Colorado. This is non-conference home loss, I should rephrase from earlier, so people don't start whatever. National title team, they're ranked 21. Not that rankings matter. That puts them...
Look. San Diego State's only loss has come to the number one team in the nation, and they almost beat them.
They had chances in that game versus Arizona at home, and they lost by, what, nine points, I believe?
Yes. They beat Creighton. They beat Marquette. They beat Washington. They just beat Kansas. I mean, they've had a very good non-conference schedule, and they've absolutely dominated it.
Yeah, national title, I don't know. I could say that depends where the seed is, because if you're a 4 seed, odds of that happening because you play number one in the Sweet 16, you're done for. So they won't need to either be like a 3 or a 6 seed to have a better opportunity to be that national dark horse team.
Right.
I haven't seen, I've only seen them play a few times. Like, I saw them versus Kansas, and I think Creighton and Arizona, I saw the whole Arizona game, but that's game two, and it's hard to judge a team in game two. I think they should, here's the thing too, the Mountain West needs this team to be a national title contender, or at least get to the second weekend. The league hasn't gotten to the second weekend since, I think, BYU was in the league when they had Jimmer for that. And then Utah with Andrew Bogut and, I think, Luke Neville. They haven't had a team in Sweet... And UNLV with Lon Kruger. They went to the Elite Eight, I believe. Or at least Sweet 16. But they haven't had... The way... Like you said earlier, they're not a mid-major pro league. But they act like it come tournament time. So I'm going to say No, they're not. And it's a Dark Horse national title contender. Because I don't know how high they can climb. They do play New Mexico twice. UNLV's not very good. Boise State still... They played such a soft schedule. It's hard to tell how good they are. They might not get the boost of getting to that higher seed.
Well, we'll get to see a Boise State San Diego State matchup early this week. So, January 8th, the next round of Mountain West games.
Yeah, it's on ESPNU at 8 o'clock tip Pacific time. Is there anything else about hoops? Like, what are your thoughts on New Mexico? Because they're the other team that I don't know how they're not ranked. I'm pretty surprised they're not getting any top 25 consideration. They probably will this week, I think. But I have no idea why they're not with the way Cameron Barstow's played, Alex Kirk, Tony Snell.
Part of me thinks it's because of who. I mean, Massachusetts is a legitimate team. So losing Massachusetts is fine, but getting blown out by Massachusetts at home is completely.
No, that wasn't. That was a tournament. That wasn't a road home game.
Oh, sorry. I see the versus.
I make sure to check the hoops. That was some sort of tournament game. They get blown up by Kansas, but New Mexico State, who are they still in the WAC?
Yeah, they're still in the WAC. They look good in the WAC,
and they're expected to win the WAC. So it's not a terrible loss, but it's not a good loss.
There's not many teams left in the WAC for them.
Grand Canyon, Utah Valley, Chicago, Texas, Pan America. I believe I'm correct.
Actually, you know what? No, University of Missouri, Kansas City is in first place in the WAC right now.
Oh, first place in the WAC. But I don't get how they're not ranked, because I get those two losses in Kansas, but they beat Cincinnati at home. They beat New Mexico State. Well, I guess it counteracts on the road, and they lose at home. But Marquette's pretty good. CSU, they're going to be interesting this year since lost everybody. But I'm thinking... I know this is way early because in Joe Lunardi's bracketology early not conference preview rankings, whatever you want to call it, when the conference play began, he had San Diego State, New Mexico, and Boise in that opening round again. Is there any way this league can get more than three teams? Or are they even going to be stuck with just two teams?
I don't think there's going to be two teams. I think as you're going to see the season move on, I think there's going to be clear three teams. I think.
Who's that third team then? Is it really Boise State? Because they've played a pretty crappy schedule, and when they go to Kentucky and lose, they lose to St. Mary's, who's not very good, not as good as they normally are this year, but then they almost beat Iowa State in Hawaii.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's the thing about the Kentucky loss. The Kentucky loss, remember that the travels, I mean, the fact that it was a poor shooting game, mm-hmm. but they kept it close really until the very end, and that's with shooting troubles. And that's with also an absolutely horrible travel day to get there.
Yeah, that's true. I forget what – do you recall what the issues? I remember there was something. Didn't it the bus?
They had to go through another airport because they were snowed out and then had to drive. I think it was a 9 or 10-hour drive.
Did they go from Chicago or like to Lexington or something?
Something like that, yeah.
10 minutes, bud. Not yet.
But, I mean, that really affects – say, oh, that doesn't really affect people, but that really does affect a team and how you play when you don't have enough rest or when you're uncomfortable in preparing.
Well, look at like the Hawaii playing Utah State football, man. They got stuck in LA forever. They didn't have to bus it, but still, that's long travel. You're hanging out at the airport, which is a crappy place to hang out for hours at a time. So, and then taking a 9-hour bus ride, which they probably haven't done since not even high school. They'd travel that far on bus, really.
I think they travel,
but I don't know how good they are because they have the team. Anytime they play a decent team, they win. But it's, you know what I mean, they haven't played anybody.
Oh, they haven't beaten anybody. Their RPI is 51st, which is...
I don't get that when their strength of schedule is like 300 or something.
Yeah.
Or at least it was when they played Utah.
I mean, to answer your question flat out, I think the Mountain West is a three-tournament team, or is a three-bid team this year. Whether or not Boise State will be that third team, I think we have to wait a little bit longer.
Not too much longer. Wednesday may be the deal. We know.
I don't think they're going to beat San Diego State this week. However, if they can keep San Diego State close like they did last year, I think we're going to see kind of more of an indication. If they get absolutely blown out, no, this is not a tournament team.
So then if it's not Boise State, who would you put in that third spot? UNLV, I guess, by default? Or would Utah State, getting Jared Shaw back, potentially?
I think either Utah State or let's see how Air Force continues to play.
Okay. Maybe. I'm curious about them, too, just because they beat a couple of teams.
They haven't – okay.
J.D. Quiet.
Really, I mean, Air Force has kind of been absolutely surprising in terms of their schizophrenic play. But, okay, you lose to VMI, who's a decent mid-major. You lose to Jackson State by two, which you shouldn't have lost to. You lose to Richmond. You get blown out by Richmond. Get blown out by Colorado, who's ranked.
Who beat Oregon on Sunday.
Yeah. The only loss that I really don't understand here is UC Davis.
Jackson State's awful, man. Come on.
And Jackson State. But like I said, Jackson State was a lot. I mean, that shouldn't have been a loss, but that was a two-point loss, too.
Still. I don't know. They'll start. I'm pretty sure. Here's the thing that's big about it. They beat UNLV at the Thomas and Mack,
which never happens.
It's tough to do. I think they'll beat Fresno, but then when they play San Diego State, here's the thing. I don't know. The league's just kind of top heavy. It's not like it was last few years where when Boise State, before they made that jump, every home game was tough. I think Boise State won a couple of those home games, but they were keeping everybody within a couple points at home, even if they lost. But here's what I think with Air Force. The way that if they can continue to play, who knows if they will, they'll probably beat Fresno because Fresno's no good, or at least a chance. They'll lose to San Diego at 3-1. They could be 4-1 heading into CSU. And that's a rival game, and that's not very far. It could be 5-1. Well, I could maybe, if things go really good, I don't see why they couldn't be 6-1 before they actually play their tough part of the schedule.
Right.
But I don't think they'll make the NCAA tournament. If they're going to surprise anybody, it'll probably be an NIT bid if they somehow can get to 17 wins or something.
Okay.
So do you have anything else?
I think you're right. But I'm still fairly convinced that I'm still fairly convinced that Mountain West, as of right now, is a three-bid team.
You just don't know who that third team is for sure? Or are you... I think I mentioned, but assuming you believe it's still your Broncos.
I'm still playing the Broncos card until further notice.
Until further notice, and could further notice end on Wednesday?
Further notice could possibly.
Yeah. You think it could?
I think you could. A bad enough loss, yes.
Oh, Lord, okay.
But see, you know what? UNLV and San Diego State. There hasn't really been a bad loss between these two teams. In a good year and a half.
Since they've been in the league, yeah. Because even, like I mentioned before, 2 years ago, Boise wasn't in the NCAA tournament, but at home, they were giving everybody their best game regardless at home and won, lost, and beat a couple teams at home. So I think that wraps it up for us tonight. We're going to do some hoops, I guess, some generic in-depth. We'll see if maybe we get another hoops going on to help us out a little bit, I guess. Just because there's a lot of games to watch, so... Should we kind of lay out what we're going to do for the next month or two up to signing day?
Yeah. Let's do this.
Here's what I think. Here's a good plan. Yes, we are planning over the air. I'm planning on getting some recruiting guys on, like some of the guys from Rivals that I know about who like us and come on the show. Maybe if my fingers are crossed, me and Brandon Huffman talk a little bit on Twitter, we might get him on, the West recruiter guy from scout.com. Maybe. This is all me just speculating now I can do this. So, knowing me, I over-deliver and underperform for the most part. Oh, one other thing. We need to say thank you to everybody. Do you know why, Chris?
Yes, I do know why.
Would you like
because
to say why?
The absolute number of page views and the people who visited the site throughout this whole past 2013 year has been absolutely amazing. I think you were saying something like over 1.2 million views. Was that it?
No, I'll get the number here, but... From 2012 to 2013, 2.5 times the amount of page views. Yeah. It's 2.5.
It's that next step that we've taken, and we have you, the listeners, you, the viewers, to absolutely thank for that.
And not in jest, but not in jest, we could thank Cougar Board as well.
Thank you, Cougar Board.
Kind of off topic, but I looked at our stats the other day. I'm like, why am I getting all these posts of BYU joining the Mountain West? Something we did in Ken Rodriguez did back in January of 2013. We had about a good 1,500 the other day just from that. But it started off last year. There's other circumstances. Everybody coming to view because we have good content and whatever reasons you come view us. Expansion helps last season in January, but we kept it going. December also, our January last year was amazing. This December trumped that by about 10,000. But
yeah, when we got the January numbers last year, I don't think
it like tripled anything we've done.
At much higher.
And we got close, and then this December, bowl games and stuff, and even with no BCS game, which would have helped us obviously even more for Fresno from just people hanging out and viewing for lengthening the season, but it was just nuts. So thank everybody for that. I will get this right now really quick as we discuss. But it's not working. We just have a lot. 2.5 times. That's amazing. That's all I'm going to say. So what we're going to do actually for the rest of the way, we're going to get some recruiting guys on. Should we do a live video of a roundtable recap of the season with everybody?
Yeah, well, let's try to do a roundtable. Let's try and do a...
Get all 20 of our guys at once?
Yeah. Hey, it worked a couple times. Hey, remember that Mountain West Connection Live that we did?
Yeah, at about 50
or so. I think we should try one of those again.
We'll promote. Okay, what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. We won't get a set of dates. It would be within 2 weeks. We will do our normal. Here's the kind of schedule. We'll probably do one show, maybe two show weeks if we could swing it. Kind of reviewing the season, like take two or three teams at a time. And then we'll do some sort of live big show. Well, here's what we'll do. Like we did our mid-season show where we dressed up in our suit and tie and everything. We're going to have another, Chris is setting us up another fan vote kind of big plays, everything, things like that.
Five. Yeah, we need our end of season review. Remember, it's not quite the end of football season. We still have a national championship game tomorrow. So
Monday night, yeah. So we're going to do that, and then once those come about, we'll discuss that, and then we'll bring everybody on, but we'll bring on a few of the guys to talk about the season, and that'll be a video show. We'll promote it so you can comment, because Google Hangout has a nice chat feature now, Q&A feature, so we'll do that. And this regular show, we'll do shows once a week. We're not going much farther than that, but we'll get some recruiting stuff next month, because signing day, and we'll do our season recaps within the next 6 weeks or so. Or sooner than that. Does that sound good, everybody? Raise your hand if you agree.
Sounds pretty good.
And I will try to deliver what we said this time. And, yeah, that's what we're going to do. So hope everybody enjoys listening to the show.
Hey, let me ask you something real quick.
What's that?
While we're online here. Who's going to win tomorrow's game?
Oh, I should have mentioned that. I meant to think about it earlier. Florida State, Auburn. I don't know. That's not a good answer you want to hear, but I would say we got the Team of Destiny stuff, the kick six and all that stuff, the miracle at Jordan Hare and all that stuff happened throughout the year. I could see Florida State. I think Florida State's a better team, but they haven't been challenged at all this year. Even that Clemson game, they just rushed over everybody. They're challenged in bits and pieces, like the Nevada game for half was close, the Duke game for a quarter and a half was close, but they haven't been challenged where Auburn... Not saying the SEC's, well, they are the best league for the most part, but they beat all these great teams, even though not the circumstances help them win. Not that they're lucky, but yeah, I could say lucky getting the tip to Hail Mary, right place, right time, and that working out. But I think it's going to be Florida State by maybe a touchdown or so.
Yeah, I think Florida State's going to take this one.
Go in your bed, I'll be there in just a minute.
But if Auburn truly is the team of destiny, don't be surprised if they win.
They are dangerous, so you know Team of Destinies are with you got Utah against Alabama, you got, yes, I mentioned that, you have, who else?
they were Mountain West at the time.
Heck yeah, Mountain West. Boise State, kind of, a little bit, against Oklahoma. There hasn't really been a team like that for a national title, though. I guess LSU a little bit, but in 07.
State in 2010 could have been if they hadn't missed the kick.
And so could a TCU if they didn't put the second back in the clock for Mack Brown in Texas. Yeah. There hasn't been a Team of Destiny for like a national title, if you think about it. Because USC, Texas. You got the old Florida State, Oklahoma, 13-2 debacle. You had the LSU, Alabama. And you can't be Team of Destiny because you're Alabama 2 years ago running the table, winning your, 25th straight game or whatever it would be. That's just a good team. There hasn't been, outside of the Cam Newton Auburn team, is that the closest thing you can see a couple years ago?
No, because they kind of...
They started lowly ranked.
I don't think that Auburn team was a Team of Destiny because there was still too much scandal around it.
I don't know. I think Florida State's a better team. I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins. The only way I'd be surprised if there's some sort of blowout. Winston's so much better. And I just think they're going to win by about 6 to 10 points. Now, what do you say about the game? Winner,
now,
say, go.
Right now, I'm going to say Florida State by 3.
Who's getting more fans? This is West Coast. Way west.
I'll tell you. I'm in Vegas. And I went out with some friends last night. I saw a lot of Auburn jackets.
You hear War Eagle every 5 seconds?
Yeah. What I think it is I think probably there's probably going to be more Florida State fans at the game. But there's going to be more Auburn fans around.
Excellent. Okay, I got you. So, agreement, Florida State in a close one. I'm hoping the last BCS title game is a good one because they're outside Texas... USC, there hasn't really been a good one, has there? Oregon-Auburn wasn't too bad. Alabama-LSU was debacle. LSU couldn't, I use that word again, but couldn't get past midfield.
You know what? There was, hold on.
You can pull it up right now.
Yeah, I can't remember all the BCS national championships.
There's been so many. They've been so memorable. I know, it's hard to tell.
Well, you know, I was.
Oh no, a good one, Mike Vick, man, Florida State, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been a couple, but not many.
What about Tennessee, Florida State?
I don't remember what happened. T. Martin, I know that. The very first one. I guess so. It's just I got the scores now. Ohio State, Miami was pretty memorable. Overtime, that the flag got caught in my belt, pass interference call.
It's been a disappointment. Texas USC was the best one.
Oh, that's the best probably college football game I've ever seen, ever.
Well, that says you.
What are you, Boise, Oklahoma?
Hey, I saw that game live, so sure. Yes.
In person or live?
In person.
Okay. I saw Utah beat Pitt in person. Does that count? The best part of that game... Ton of Utah guys, as one Pitt guys walk up and down. You guys are terrible. You come from this crappy league. He shuts up with 21 zip.
Yeah, I hardly remember it, but the very first BCS game was a good BCS game. Tennessee, Florida State.
There were, but overall, it's been a disappointment. Florida, Ohio State, 41-14. LSU, Ohio State, 38-24. Florida, Oklahoma, Tim Tebow. Alabama, Texas, with Colt McCoy going out in that first drive or first couple plays. I don't know. I would probably say you've got to put, obviously, Texas, USC, then probably the Auburn-Oregon game from a couple years ago is pretty good. Then probably Virginia Tech, Florida State, even though it was a blowout since the fourth quarter when they tore it up. But
so you know what?
What?
I have a drink in hand, and here's to the playoff system next year.
Woohoo! And soon to be 18 playoff system, right?
Hopefully 16.
Sooner than later. Yeah, 16. Sooner than later, but we'll take it steps at a time. So that's how we're going to end the show tonight. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our latest Mountain West Connection show. As always, mwcconnection.com, and just check us out, and we will talk to everybody next time.